Talk Radio.
Bless you. Lord, bless
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is Apostle Sadie Elliott. So glad you have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic. And before we start, let's have a few words of prayer. Gracious Father, we come this morning thanking you in advance for what you're doing, who you are, dear Heavenly Father, and what you're going to do the rest of this day, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you as good as it is, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for those that's coming on in the name of Jesus. We come to give you praise today. We come to give you glory today because it's not about us. It's all about you. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for being a good God, a merciful God, and a kind God, an all-knowing God. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today our topic is yoked together with Jesus. And we'll be coming from Matthew's, the 11th chapter, the 28, 29, and 30 verse. You know, the word of God say Jesus spoke to people. Before I start on that part, a yoke is, tell you about a yoke first. A yoke is a wooden cross piece fastened over the neck of two animals and attached to a plow or cart. A yoke, all two animals together and pulled together, yokes using in the Bible time with bulls or oxes to plow field and pull wagons. The animal yoked together needed to be close in size and weight for the cart or plow to pull people in Jesus' days readily understood. Analogical using a yoke. They knew what Jesus meant when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our tag words today we'll be using is yoke, burden, light, and humble. And coming from the Bible, Matthew's 11th chapter, starting at the 28th verse, the word of God say, for come unto me all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29 say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we're going to talk about yoking together with Jesus today. You know, Jesus spoke to people who had given up on religion, people who were burnt out trying and failing to observe a long list of rules and regulations. Here's what he told them. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you. Put it on your shoulder and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and this burden is light. You know, the yoke Jesus spoke of was a harness that went around the neck of two oxen so they could pull the plow in the same direction. And each term of oxen, one was the leader, the other one would follow. There was an important lesson here. Don't miss it. Jesus would take the lead, but you must stay in sickness with him to enjoy his blessing on your life. He was promised his yoke won't choke you. It won't be wearisome or confirming, and you won't chafe under it. In fact, if you want to be truly free, you must let yourself be yoked to Jesus by submitting your will to his. But it doesn't work to accept Christ's yoke for a while, then start pulling the other way when things go the way you don't want them to go. When you do, the Lord get heavy, and you start to feel worn out. Peace and rest come when you relax in the yoke and let Christ lead. Jesus said you will find rest. That means your option are to resist him or to rest in him, which will it be. It's your choice. Do you want to follow Jesus or do you want to follow some religious doctrine that you don't know anything really about? You know, people in Jesus, they understood it. They knew what it meant when he said, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. You know, another place in scriptures used the image of a yoke to discourage Christians from entering into intimate dealings with unbelievers. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? My. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Think about that. If you are a believer and you're dealing with the unbeliever, you're doing all you can to win that unbeliever over on your side to believing what God says. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let me turn right over there because I want you to hear everything that the word of God is saying. Not me, but I'll be coming from the word. That way you can understand what the word of God is saying. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verse say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what commune have light with darkness? Verse 15 say, and what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And verse 16 say, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And verse 17 say, wherefore come out from among them. Here he's telling you to come out from among them. And be ye separated, saith the Lord. Not saith it, but saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. To be yoked together is to be in a binding relationship. The warning in this passage is that a Christian should not enter a compromising personal or professional arrangement with a non-Christian. Here we was talking about earlier about two animals unequally yoked would end up fighting each other and the yoke. When the Israelites chased after idols, they were said to be yoking themselves to Baal. You can go over to Psalms 106, and let's turn to that, so you can read it for yourself. Psalms 106, let's turn right on over that to that scripture. And that way you can read along with me from your Bible. It may read different, but we're going to go from the scriptures on what it is saying. In 106, and we're going to go to verse 28. And the word of God said, they joined themselves also unto Baal Prala, and ate the sacrifice of the dead. You know, the New Testament believer should be separate from the world. And if anybody on the line today would like to say something as I go through, all you have to do is hit 1 on your keypad of your phone, and I gladly bring you in. You know, a Christian view the world from a different perspective than doer and unbeliever. We become citizens of another kingdom when we accept by faith God's offer of salvation. You'll find in Romans 10:9-10. And I'll turn over there and read what it said. That way you know what the Word of God is saying. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, just write these scriptures down, and you can go back at your leisure time and read them. Romans 10:9-10 say, "And if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You know, when you read those scriptures and ponder on them, a Christian pursuing God and a non-Christian pursuing the world will be pulling in different directions. Philippians 3:18-20. And if you want, we can go on over there. 18-20 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemy of the cross of Christ, in its destructive, who God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind earthly things." The Word of God said, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're talking today, yoked together with Jesus. And that's what we should be about in these last and evil days. We should be yoked with Jesus and not with the world. You know, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destructive. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, not here on earth. You know, Christians live to honor and glorify our King. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 31. And I'll turn over that, 10:31. First Corinthians 10:31. And it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You know, those who are of the world live to please themselves and conform to the world standard. When Christians bind themselves together with unbelievers and contradicted or conventional agreement, they should shoulder one side of a yoke. They may believe they are headed toward righteousness and glory for God, but their yoke fellows have other ideas. They will pull against each other rather than moving the load in the right direction. We should be careful whose yoke we accept and with whom we are yoked together. Think about that. You don't want to yoke up with no in and everybody. You want to be with people who is yoked together with Jesus. You know, and this is what the Bible say about yoke with Christ. And this was in Matthew 11, 27, and 30. I read that to you earlier. But here's some notes for you. Our Savior Jesus Christ understands perfectly the burden of this world. He understands perfectly the burden of sin and the devastation it caused. Sin has the power to destroy what God is creating, family. But Christ has already defeated sin. We do not have to carry that burden. He did it fully and completely. For when God does something, we do not have to redo it. When we think of a yoke, we often think of bondage. How many of you all been in bondage? Servitude, a grueling work that would divide us into the ground. Some may recall the movement with Samson, blind and bleed, struggle to push a huge grindstone. And every step of the way is painful. In reality, however, a yoke is nothing more than a tool to do a job. And a well-designed job allow the user to work at maximum capacity and efficiently. Most important, our Savior have offered us his yoke. Would any other yoke fit us more perfectly? Just as two oxes may work together in the yoke, Jesus is also closely working with each of us. We need to picture ourselves sharing the same yoke as Jesus, like a couple of oxen with a load to pull. We should also add to this scenery God the Father. Just as we saw in verse 27 that he had given Christ all things needed to get the job done, Jesus is right beside us, y'all, in the yoke, working diligently to guide us and pull his share of the load to ensure that we finish the job. Today I'll ask you, what is your reward, saying that he will give us rest, rest for your soul. Jesus' yoke is one of rest, the same rest that is discussed in Hebrews 3 and 4. And I'll turn over there. Hebrews 3 and 4 says, "For every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God." The rest of God in his kingdom. Then, you know, in verse 30 appeared Jesus' hardened proclamation. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus have already cut the rope. So all we have to do is to follow his lead. And we will find rest from all of our burdens. No matter how big or how little, we will find rest from our burden. You know, our Lord summarized the invitation to discipleship that characterized his earthly ministry. "Come to me," he said, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's what he's saying. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know, to understand our Lord's invitation, we must understand that those to whom he was speaking was crushing between the weight of the Mosaic law. Our Lord addressed those who numbered themselves among the disciples of Moses and who were the disciples of the Pharisees. Neither Moses nor the Pharisees could give rest from depression burdens or offer relief from the oppressed load that the law brought. Christ recognized that there was no other course to rest. You know, the reason people find rest is by taking God's yoke. Is that his yoke is a different kind of yoke. The law was given by Moses in John 1 and 17. And because the Pharisees considered themselves the law officially interpreted, they promoted themselves as authority in Israel. We read in Matthew 23 and 2 that Christ referred to those teachers of the law and the Pharisees as men who sit in Moses' seat, claiming the authority of Moses as interpretation and teaching of the law. They demanded that all in Israel who submitted to Moses also submitted to them, and that individual in Israel recognized themselves not only as disciples of Moses, but also Pharisees. You know, when the law was imposed on humans, it did not bring liberty. It brought bondage. Rather than freedom, it brought oppression. Instead of a sense of relief, it brought a sense of guilt and failure. The Pharisees made no efforts to bring freedom and liberty. In fact, their system imposed heavy burdens. You can read Matthew 23 and 4. The Pharisees codified the Mosaic law into some 360 prohibit and 250 commandments and required those who followed them. Our Lord looked at a nation under a heavy burden. Right now, our nation is under a heavy burden. And when you think about back in those times, a burden that the Pharisees made no efforts to lift for those who was crushed beneath its load. How many people are being crushed right now? And he came to say, come to me. He got open arms to each and every one. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You know, those who was under the Mosaic law were said to be yoked to Moses. Those who was under the authority of the Pharisees were said to be yoked to the Pharisees. Christ talked about delivering people from this yoke, coming to those who were so. Christ offered them release, liberty, freedom, and rest. You know, we read about in another time when Jesus invited people to himself. When two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. You'll find that in John 1:37. They asked, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said to them, come, and you will see. So they went and saw. Again, finding Philip, Jesus said to him, follow me. How many times God have told y'all to follow him? And Philip, in the word of God, followed him. Here the numbers of disciples was expanded from the original four because Christ presented himself to them and said, follow me. And they submitted to him and followed. How many of you all, God said, now, follow me, that you are and that you are submitted to his authority and are yoked with him. You are yoked up with him, and they will find rest for their soul. Jesus did not say to the distressed, come to me and I will remove all yokes from you and give you rest. His invitation and the condition upon which people were found taking my yoke upon you. To take Christ's yoke means to submit oneself to the authority of Christ. It means to put ourselves under his rule, to join together with him. He is inviting people to put their shoulders into a new yoke, one in which he is the yoke. The reason people find rest by taking Christ's yoke is that their yoke is a different kind of yoke. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. To the one bound in this new yoke, Christ promised, you will find rest for your soul. The yoke to which Christ invites people when born as a co-laborer with Jesus Christ is no burden at all. It is a source of rest, sanctification, enjoyment, and contentment. Christ is our life, and he is our strength. When one is yoked to Jesus Christ, that which is profound is the joy of the true disciple. So today, that's the end of our broadcast. Are you yoked together with Jesus? Are you trying to do and want to do what God is saying to do? If not, today is the day that you can yoke up with Christ. He's standing there with open arms saying, come, my son, come, my daughter, come, my child, standing right there. So today, I hope you got something out of the broadcast, yoked together with Jesus. And as I always tell you at the end of my broadcast, if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each one of you and tell you just how much I love you. I want to thank each one of you all for coming on the broadcast today. Stay tuned next week for another exciting topic that the Lord will give me to share with all the listening audience. So pass this broadcast on to others. Tell them to come on. The call, the guest call-in number is area code 646-716-4389. And until next week, be blessed. Have a prosperous week. And do yoke up together with Jesus. Bye-bye.